Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you with a special bonus episode with an awesome guest for you, Polina Ganesho. Polina, welcome.
Hey. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm very excited to chat about this. You are the writer on Disney Villains Maleficent Volume 2, number one. Just going to clarify that. Coming out October 29th. This has art by Theo Staltz. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of folks probably know you generally better as an artist, but you've been really flexing a lot with the writing over the past couple of months, past couple of years, particularly with Dynamite, and that's been pretty awesome to see. Mm-hmm. The thing about this book that I think is fascinating is probably too strong of a word, but interesting as it's starting off is you have this run by Sue Lee. This is you coming in with the second volume. Mm-hmm. What is important to you in terms of like looking at that, continuing any sort of feel of that, and or ditching it and kind of doing your own thing?
I mean, I think a lot of it when you are doing a sequel to anything is to respect the former creative team who was here and who did it. And Sue Lee is incredible, and she did that all on her own. Yeah. And it's so good. But I think when given the choice to either do a sequel or do your own thing, it's like any creative wants to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. But I think I honor the spirit of the first trade quite a bit. But it does take place in a different point of time. I believe hers is a prequel to everything. Right. Mine takes place almost right after the beginning scene of the movie. So it's like a weak canon. It's not actually canon, but, you know, it's like it could be believable to have happened within the movie, the original Disney movie. So, but yeah, I think anyone needs to honor the previous creators, and I definitely tried to, but I'm for sure doing my own thing. It's not a sequel in the proper term. So,
well, in sort of in response to that, I would say also Maleficent is a character that is iconic and striking, but you don't really ever learn much about her in the original core movie text. So that gives you actually, you're honoring what came before, but you have so much leeway to go wherever you want.
Yeah. For sure. But, you know, Disney does come with stipulations especially when you do properties like this. So they were very strict about what I can and cannot do. But I think I do build on her as a person while also making her very stay just within her iconic frame of the 50s movie that came out. Yeah.
I don't want to get you in trouble at all. Are you able to share any of those stipulations? I'm just curious, like, what the guardrails are for something like this.
I feel like I could tell you. It's honestly not a secret as you would think. It's the only thing is, you know, we couldn't change anything about who she is as a character in the original Disney movie. We couldn't talk about her past in a way that would change any canon of, you know, who she is as a character. But, you know, there are ways you can kind of skirt that. And I definitely do in the book, which I think is kind of fun. And a lot of it is like enigmatic and hints at things. So it's just, you can't change her, basically, is what Disney said. And I couldn't pull anything from the live action movies. So it's like, that does not exist.
Okay. That's an interesting challenge, I think. And I mean, you're touching on this already, and this is like part and parcel with comic books, is you're dealing, whether it's, you know, Spider-Man or Batman or Maleficent, yeah. you're dealing with these characters with these deep histories, potential futures, and you got to find your little niche in there. Yes. So how do you make sure that she has a character arc and goes on a journey here when you know where she started, can't really change that, and you definitely know where she ends?
I mean, I think a lot of it with stories like this, or with any property IP like this, where you do have to work within the framework of what they allow you to do, is to make sure whatever the journey that they're going on is fun and maybe, you know, has a lot of, I mean, as an artist, I love like fun visual motifs and like, you know, set changes and like, and I don't know, mystical, like I said, enigmatic strangeness. So like, I think I pull in a lot of fun with the world that she's exploring. And I pulled in some new characters that I created that allow, that I can do anything with. So I think a lot of it is leaning on that. And I think, I honestly am very proud of what I've done on this story. And there's a nice twist at the end. So I think it's interesting to have a character that's so staunchly themselves and kind of build a world around them. And that's kind of what I did here.
Well, cool, because speaking of fun journey, I think you did such a great job of setting this up for this kind of adventure for this character to go on and kind of leave the safety of what we know. So as kind of like a, you know, we've just read that the first issue of it, just kind of like as a first issue setting up, I think you did such a great job of getting us excited for more.
Thank you.
And yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about this character in many years, but now it's had such a big, you know, with volume one and now volume two, had such a, it's really impressive what they're doing with this character, and it's fun to see. And it's cool because it's like, you know, this character, but then you get to kind of spend more time with them. What was for you, like, I don't know, maybe the most fun or kind of like a thing that you learned?
I think, honestly, like you said, I think playing with such an iconic character was like tick the box automatically of the most fun part of it.
Cool.
Because I mean, I don't want to say, but I feel like she is top three most iconic Disney villain, right?
Oh,
like,
sure.
Maybe
wow.
Like, I mean, it's her and Cruella for me are like the most Cruella's from the original.
Ursula? Yeah. Where does Ursula fit in there?
Ursula's up there too.
Okay.
She's up there, but she's three.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like how defensive you're getting, Alex. Like,
why you?
I mean, Ursula, I went to school my favorite with Ursula. Whatever. I don't want to make this a contest. Right?
She's barely evil. She's just screwing around. Yeah. I mean, Maleficent is like, I want to just be menacing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going to say.
Cruella makes dog coats. So that's
He killed dogs.
Yeah. The worst thing you can do.
I do think, I mean, what Justin's saying here, that's something that you capture very nicely in the first issue, is almost this eerie unknowability of the character. And I assume at least part of that is up to Theo Stultz's art, but it really feels like she's floating through there as these other things are happening. How do you, as a here writer, but writer who is also an artist, how did you work with Theo on this to make sure we got this visual motif of the book?
I mean, I think I wrote that specifically into the script a lot, that she kind of like floats. It's like she almost glides through scenes because in her original animator character notes, they talk about how limiting her design was. But in a way, it gave her this like presence, this floating, like she barely moves. She, you never see her legs. She doesn't do anything crazy. She just kind of floats through scenes and it kind of gives her this air about her. So I definitely mentioned that to Theo in the script when I would be like, she floats through the scene, you know, she glides through the door, you know, she has not a care. So, but I think Theo understands her character a lot really well, like really, really well. And he's so good at that subtle acting that really like plays up her air, you know, the air about her.
Well, there's a great sort of serenity to her evil.
Yes.
Like she's very much at peace. It feels like being like, quest for power. Hell yeah. But that, and that there's a lot of mention of power. She seems to crave naked power, and has the confidence to be like, I don't have anything else going on.
No, she does not.
How do you ride with someone like that as the protagonist here of this book?
You know, it can be hard, but I love stories with a villain as a lead. I think it's really interesting. And as I said previously, I think it allows for the characters around her to maybe be something that they're not too. Maybe spoiler, but there's definitely some things happening with the people she runs into. You haven't seen another one though, but you'll find out.
Just in your saying the characters reacting to her, there's a great moment in this first issue where one of her underlings is so happy that she's just happy for like truly 1 second. And I love that as the reactive, like it's she's the sort of hurricane that everyone's responding to.
Yes. She's a threat in herself. And I mean, going back to just who she is as a character, I think she's genuinely scary considering she's just like a Disney character. And I love playing that up within the story and playing with the horror aspects too of it that Sleeping Beauty has that they haven't touched on a lot since. Yeah. And because I love like the original, like creepy Disney stuff that they just don't do it all anymore. Yeah. Cause that stuff is my favorite. Ooh, I love it.
There's an air of dread, especially Sleeping Beauty. Everything is a little like, I don't know if, I know you're supposed to be Prince Charming, but you're being it's a little weird what's happening here.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I was a kid in the end, when Maleficent goes down, I was like, I don't buy it.
I don't think,
no way
that she disintegrates. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. And it's also, she's also so petty to have this vendetta against this family.
Right.
Yeah. And I love her against the baby. And just like, she's just mad and wants to just kill everybody. Yeah. She's mad.
She didn't get one invite. And she's like, well, this baby dies.
Did. Yeah, exactly.
She said, screw your baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you talked about, like, you know, working with your artists and stuff like that. As an artist yourself, I always wondered, like, is it sometimes like blow you away at the pages that you get back? Could it be like, oh my God, I'm so impressed with this. It makes me feel a certain way about my own art.
Or as an artist, are you like, I could do better?
Yeah, do you give like harsh notes because you are an artist? You're like, how dare you? This perspective is garbage. You know, like how is it for you?
Well, it's the first one more than the bucket.
Sure. Good answer. Strong answer.
Because, you know, we're all out here doing our own art, and right. You know, art is so biased. And But Theo is amazing, and I literally I wrote this with him in mind and begged him to do it with me. So I think every time he sends me something, I'm just the first one. I'm just blown away. But I think as an artist too, I can help him in ways if like something isn't working or if he needs some direction. I think in general, the artist-writer is always better suited to propping up the artist they're working with because I know the process. Like, and I know, I know how to maybe withhold scene directions or, you know, frame a shot in a way that's more approachable for an artist and less, you know, damning to their time. I've done it all, like, you know, big crowd scenes and all that or... But anyway, I do actively really, really try to cater to my artists when I work with them because I know the pain. But I absolutely love working with anyone I work with. And my notes are never heavy because I want them to be who they are.
Well, I'm curious in light of that, like in talking about how much you love those early creep Disney era, because I feel like the art and especially the colors are very much reflective of that. Did you have much of a hand in sort of pushing in that direction, or was the team just like, we like what you like?
No, I was mostly Theo. The only thing that me and Nate, the editor, gave him was, we want it to be kind of creepy, and that was it. Like, like I said, Theo is so suited for this book. It's literally written for him in mind. So I think it's just he has such a vision with this type of story, and he has like a storybook quality to him as well, to his art, that really lends into, you know,
perfect.
Yeah, just like the Maleficent tale and what she's doing and the world she exists in. Yeah. So no, I would say we didn't. It's all Theo.
Yeah. This is going back one question and kind of riffing off of that a little bit, but I feel like there was, maybe this is my narrow view of the industry, but I feel like for a very long time, there was a stigma against artists segueing into being writers. Like you could be a writer artist and craft your own graphic novel or your own series, but moving from one to the other or back and forth, it's not necessarily a recent thing. Like I would almost point it around like 2010. So we're talking like 15 years or so, but it even feels like in the past 5 years or so, there's been even more of a turn towards allowing people to move back and forth and kind of embrace all aspects of the industry. Is that something from somebody who is doing that very thing? Does that match with your perspective or how do you see that?
You know, I am new to the flip-flopping a little bit. Like you said, I've done more where I write for myself and draw in the past, but doing just the writer is new for me within the past few years. But I haven't had any pushback or issue with fans about me doing that. I think fans just like a well-crafted story, and no matter who the writer is, even if they're an artist or not, is what matters. And yeah, that's interesting. I had graduated college in 2010, so I didn't know about that pushback.
You know what it is very specifically is I remember conversations around the New 52 at DC where there were a bunch of people, I think it was like Tony S. Daniel and a couple of other people who were traditionally artists writing books and not drawing them. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, whoa, what's going on here? This is crazy, man. And that has become a regular part of the industry. Like I think Dynamite, frankly, has been fantastic about it, giving folks like you a chance, Declan Shalvey as well, moving back.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think it's totally different now. I think that it's everywhere, even in the big two. Like, and like, I don't know who's writing. Sophie Campbell's writing Supergirl. And like, I don't know, Jamie McKelvey's writing a bunch of stuff and he's an artist. I don't know. It's everywhere.
Like you say, a good story is a good story.
Yeah, and exactly.
To that point, I wanted to ask you about one other thing you're doing upcoming at Dynamite that sounds like a lot of fun. The Terminator Santa Claus is coming to town. Which I got that press release and I was like, well, this is great. Sign me up.
What a mashup. That blew my mind.
But the impression that I got from the synopsis is that it's a bunch of kids while Skynet is like bombing and destroying the world, talking about Christmas and what they think it is and kind of mixing it up with the Terminator mythology. Is that kind of on the right track?
Yeah. Okay. I can give you a brief synopsis.
Yeah, please.
It's Christmas Eve and there's a platoon that's out on a mission, a scouting mission. And there's just the head lieutenant talking to an underling who they have like a kind of like a mother son sort of relationship with. The lieutenant is a badass. She's super, super cool. He asks her, they're being bombed by Skynet. And he's like, can you tell me about Christmas? It always calms me down. And she tells him about it. And and then crazy shit ensues. And a Terminator Santa eventually shows up. And
Terminator Santa.
Yeah. It's a really good time. I'm super excited about it. And I pitched this to my editor. Because I was like, can I write a Terminator short? Because I love Terminator so much. So I'm beyond chucked that I got to do this.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun time.
What is it specifically about Terminator that draws you in?
I don't know. I grew up in the 90s. I loved watching them as a kid, especially T2, just because it's it's classic. It's so good. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's the action of it is amazing. And I just love the desperation of it. I don't know. It's a very dramatic series, I would say. And I love good drama. But it's also just badass. It's so cool. I'm honored to be able to write it. Cause I don't know. If people are surprised when they hear that I wrote it, I'm like, I love Terminator. I don't know what to tell you.
You love villains.
I'm multifaceted, you guys.
I don't know. I think you're like, I want these villains to be prime. Yes. Let's get them. Humans.
I'm really into bad guys.
So that's coming out in December. Disney Villains Maleficent number one, of course, is coming out in October. Before we let you go, is there anything else you would like to plug?
Oh my gosh. I think those are my two big things. I think, there is the Thundercats Powerpuff Girls that just came out, which was also fun that I got to write. And the trade should be out soon. I don't know if it's end of year or next year, but that'll be a fun little compilation that comes out. Also from Dynamite.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, Alina, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. Thank you for chatting. Can't wait to read it all.
Yeah.
The Terminator thing, all that stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I'd come on anytime you guys want to talk about comics. I love
awesome.
it.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Thank you so much.
Sign you up.
Stay evil.
Yes. Yeah, stay evil, y'all.